today on this, the 11th day of October 2015, Anno Domini, and at Zion Baptist Church. We started there last week, and again, the first service this morning, we continued there, and we'll continue there, and maybe finish that up during the second service. But I would like to sing us as a congregation. We don't do specials here. We don't have quartets. We don't have people coming up and doing special music and everybody applaud because they sang so pretty. I don't find none of that in the scriptures. You ever find that in the scriptures? You show it to me in the scriptures and we'll do it here. I never did hear Peter get up and do a special. Or in the rest of them. They sang as congregation, the Bible says. They all sang together. If you'll turn in your white books, page 260. We'll sing a very scriptural, beautiful song. Now, I may sing it a little different than... I listened to it this week on some of those, on my telephone. My goodness, some of them people I couldn't keep up with. They go to town with this song. I don't like to sing it that fast. Let me see if I can start out in the right key here, because if you get it too high, some of you won't be able to hit those notes. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Sisters, will you join and help us, Moses? Sister, aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that he will be found. Sisters, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. Amen. Now I sang that for a very important reason, and that is, that's what we're preaching about. I don't know how these modern day churches can sing this song, and they probably don't. It's an old song. And they probably don't sing this song anymore. I don't know if they do or not. I haven't been to a modern day church very much in a long time. We have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. How much you hear that preached in modern day churches today? All is vain. It's worthless and useless, and you're wasting your time. You might as well be at home feeding chickens if the Spirit of God does not come down and be with His people and convict sinners of their sins. Brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. They don't talk about that in churches anymore. See poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming. Hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Judgment is coming. Death is moving. Or death is coming. Hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses' sister aided him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that He will be found. There's another verse in there that they didn't put in this edition that talks about trembling with tears, like Mary did, like the jailer did when he was saved, when he wanted to be saved. Judgment is coming. Jude, verse 6, says, "And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day." The title of the sermon is "The Judgment of the Great Day." Now these angels and all ungodly men will be at that judgment day. The Bible says in Revelation verse chapter 20, verse 11, that I saw a great white throne of judgment, and Him that sat there. Let's turn and read that. I can't quote it. I might could, but I miss it up. Chapter 20, verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Go to a funeral today and see if you hear that. Better not preach that. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. For ye have all sinned and come short of the glory of God." If you're dependent upon your works, you're guilty before God. You have failed. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." So you see, those people that are in hell now, they'll be delivered up also. They'll get a little break. It won't be a long one. They get a little break before they're cast into the eternal lake of fire. "And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And as in Matthew, he says, the sheep were on the right hand, and the goats were on the left hand. Sheep's on the right hand, and the goats were on the left hand on that great day. You're either a sheep or you're a goat. And there's never been a goat that was changed into a sheep. You were either born a sheep or you were born a goat. And goats never will come to Christ. They don't want to come to Christ. They love their sin. They love living in their sin. Now, they don't want to go to hell. And if you really pour the coals onto them about hell, they'll make a decision for Christ and they'll join the church and get ducked in the water and do their best to miss hell by their works because of something that they did. Those free willers that believe they get to heaven because of something that they did. But they're not going. You're either a sheep or you're a goat. You better decide which one you are. And if you don't know which one you are, John 10:27 says, "And my sheep know me. My sheep know my voice. And I know them. And they follow me." So it's really not hard to tell whether you're a sheep or not. According to John 10:27. Turn on over there while we're on the subject. John 10:27. I believe I'm right. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Well, are you following Christ? Now, don't tell me you're following Christ if you're not reading the book and doing what it says. Don't tell me you're following Christ if you're not reading the book and doing what it says. You're a liar and the truth's not in you. And you're a goat more than likely. You may be just a lost sheep. But you better figure out which one you are and get about the business. Because death is coming and hell is moving. And people that got killed up there in South Carolina at that college. I bet when they got there that morning, they never thought when they was getting dressed to leave to go to school, "This is the last day I'll live. I'll die today." Reckon had they known it, would their day have been any different? The day before, and the day before that, and the day before that, that on whatever day it was, I'll stand before my Maker, or I'll have my eyes lifted in the torments of hell's fire. Blind Bartimaeus must have thought about that before Jesus got to him. He was waiting on him. And began to cry out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." There's no doubt, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You see, that's the sheep that will be standing before the great white throne of judgment on the right hand side. They'll all be there. "He gives unto them eternal life, and no man can pluck them. And they live like they have eternal life." It is in them to do so. It's in their heart. It's in their mind. It's in their soul. It is their life. To bring glory to their God is their life. It's the reason they draw their next breath. Not so they can live in sin and fulfill the desires of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's not their purpose. It's not the reason they're living. They've been sanctified. They've been glorified. They've been justified. They've been washed whiter than snow. They don't want to do anything that would bring shame on the church or on their God. Oh, I know they stumble from time to time. Sometimes they'll get led astray by an idiot. Sometimes they'll let sin carry them off. They won't be there long. It's sort of like one of your children that won't mind you. He might slip by. He might get by on me at one time. And then you're going to eyeball him and beat the tar out of him. What Christian people are. I realize today you can't do that, and heathens can't do that. You hear me? You hear what I'm saying? Heathens can't beat their children because the law tells them, don't you do that. That's child abuse. God says, spare the rod, and you'll spoil, ruin it like stinking rotten meat, that child. But if you love him, you're chasing him and scourge him. That means beat the tar out of him. It really means beat the hell out of him. That means you're driving the hell out of him. You're driving that rebellious spirit out of him. You're teaching that child when you put that leather on his backside. Matter of fact, did you know Oklahoma passed the law? Somebody told me that they could bruise their children and it wasn't child abuse. They could bruise them and it wasn't child abuse. That the law couldn't interfere with the discipline of a child by the parents. Ain't that something that you got to pass a law and tell the parents it's okay for you to beat your children? I don't need a law to tell me I can or I can't. The Bible says, put it on them. And if you don't put it on them, the Bible says you don't love them. You can call it anything you want to, and you can explain it any way you want to, and you can make excuses for it any way you want to. The Word of God don't lie. If you love them, you're going to tear their butts up because you love them. God loves His children, and that's what He does to His children. Now, if you don't know whether you're a sheep or not, you ought to. Just read the book. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Because we're sheep. That's what sheep do. They follow the shepherd. That's all we care to do. That's what we do. Judgment is coming on the ungodly. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I bet your grandma beat you, didn't she, boy? That's the reason you whine. 2 Peter chapter 2. How did I get in 2 Timothy? That's a long way from 2 Peter. So, yeah, here we go. But there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, by the way, let me clarify something there about the chains of darkness. I may have understood that wrong at one point in time and may have even preached that wrong at one point in time. I took that literally, that the Lord chained them in chains of darkness. But the more you read the scriptures, and the more you read all the scriptures everywhere, you might little room there for some, maybe that don't mean chains, as in they're bound somewhere and can't get loose. What I do think that it could be is that they're bound by condemnation in their own consciences in darkness. Because to be separated from God is darkness. All sinners, all ungodly, unconverted sinners are in darkness. They're not in the kingdom of light. They're in the kingdom of darkness. They're still walking around out there in the sunlight. But in their mind and in their soul, they're in darkness, separated from God, alienated from Him. They're in darkness. So you see, this could be the same way here. So, just give you something to think about there. I want to make sure I didn't leave an impression on you that couldn't be seen another way. To be reserved unto judgment. They are chained. Some way or another. Whether it's their consciences with condemnation of their sin against God or whatever. To be reserved unto judgment. And spared not the old world. He said, for if God spared not those evil angels, and He spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world, the ungodly, and turned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto these that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. God's judgment is coming upon the ungodly. And the ungodly need to know that. Because who did Christ die for? Who does the Bible say that Christ died for? Well, yes, I know He died for His elect, but what was His elect before they were converted? They also were ungodly, and Christ died for the ungodly. And we don't know who the elect are. So all the ungodly need to know that the day of judgment is coming upon them. They need to understand that. It don't need to be a surprise to them when that day comes. All believers, He's been telling the ungodly, the day of judgment is coming upon you, ungodly people. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations so that we don't live ungodly lives. We've been sanctified, justified, glorified. We don't live ungodly lives. He knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, talking about these ungodly people, these false prophets and teachers, that He's talking about when He started the chapter. But there were false prophets among them, people, and there shall be false teachers among you. These He's talking about. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. But these, as natural brute beasts, brute, of course, means stupid. Natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Because because they're not teaching the Word of God. They're not teaching the truth of the Word of God. As it Jude says, that certain men crept in unawares to the church. They're teaching false doctrine. And shall receive the reward of the unrighteous, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. He's talking to the church here. He's talking to Christian people. He's letting them know that there are false teachers and false prophets or preachers among you. They come in unaware. They'll receive their reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery. The same thing that Balaam told Balak to do to the children of Israel. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. I told you we was going to talk about those things. It was in, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Cursed children. Having eyes full of adultery, beguiling, unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, coveting other people's things, wives, money, whatever, coveting something that doesn't belong to them. Cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and gone astray following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And you can go over there to Numbers 25:1 and Numbers 16 and get an idea of what happened there. But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Now, when you read a couple of verses before that, it sounds like these are safe people that have just strayed away. But they're not. They're false teachers and false preachers that have swiggled their way into the congregation. And they're sons of Belial. They are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. You see, they twist the word of God to make it sound like, oh, you've got liberty. You've been set free. All your offenses was nailed to the cross. You can just live any way you want to. You can do anything you want to, and everything's all right. You can accept Jesus as your personal Savior and go on about your business. You're forever saved. That's a lie from the pits of hell, and you'll bust hell wide open. Because you get lost in your sins. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Now take your stupid excuses. Go to hell with them. Idiot. Just read the book. Just read the book and get the truth. If you're looking for ways to sin, you can find plenty of them in the Word of God. Find all the excuses you want. You just go right ahead. When you take that last breath of the Lord splits them eastern skies, then you'll find out the truth. Then you'll know what the truth is. See, they promised them liberty. They themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. You say, I thought if a person was saved, he was always saved. That's exactly right. You see, this is not a thing where a person makes a profession of faith and says he's saved, don't mean that he's saved. If a person accepts Jesus as a personal Savior, that don't mean he's saved. All that means is he made a public profession and he joined the church, the local church. What did the song say? Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So you see the preacher can get up and tell tales and read the scripture, and he can give a little joke at the end and then tell a sad story and make people cry. They can come down the aisle. But if the Spirit of God didn't call them, they still lost in their sins. They didn't do nothing. They just wasted their time. And I have a problem with that. I have a problem with preachers that pull that kind of stuff, beg people to come down the aisle. What are you doing? What's your purpose? You can't save anybody. People walking down the aisle and accepting Jesus' personal Savior, don't save them. They got to be changed by the Spirit of God. The power of God's got to overcome them and knock them to their knees like it did the Saul of Tarsus. And say, Lord, that's what you have me do. And never look back. Salvation changes a man forever. Not just for a little while. Forever. These people were never saved. They only made a profession of salvation. They escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it was notional. It was head knowledge. Like telling a sinner that you're going to go to hell if you don't repent and turn from your sins and serve the Lord Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Well, he may try to turn because he don't want to go to hell. But that's head knowledge. You have to go to the cross. Hang on. I don't remember if it was Charles Spurgeon. I think it was John Gill. One of those fellas that I read after took a long time before the Lord saved him. It wasn't an immediate thing. It was like the woman. You remember Jesus answered her not a word. Wasn't that in our Spurgeon's morning or evening devotion this week? Jesus wouldn't answer a word. You imagine how terrible she felt? Could you imagine going to Jesus and hoping and pleading and needing mercy, him not say anything, just ignore you? One of them brothers was like that. Took a long time before the Lord saved him. That's the way it is. The day that you be saved is appointed already. It was appointed before the foundation of the world. That day was already appointed. You can't get it no sooner and you can't get it no later. It's going to happen on that day. You see, God's a sovereign God and He saves whom He will when He will. And that day's already set for every elect of God according to Romans chapter 9. It's not of him that willeth nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. He'll have mercy on whom He'll have mercy. He'll have compassion on whom He'll have compassion. Well, preacher, what's the need of me praying for my children? Because the Bible says for you to. And you don't know if they're the elect of God or not. It's none of your business. It's sort of like Peter asking about John living forever. And Jesus said, what is it to you?
If I let him live till I come back, what's that to you, Peter?
You just do what I've commanded you to do. Tend to your own business, Peter, before you get your feelings hurt.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Well, how's that worse? Why would it be worse for them? Hell's hell, is it not? Not according to that. You see, them Buddhists that live over yonder in China, or wherever they live, some of them never hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Never hear His name spoken. They certainly wouldn't hear it watching TV, would they? You can forget hearing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They may say something about God. They will not call the Lord Jesus' name. Unless it's in a cursing way. But some of them never hear of Christ. They'll die in their sins. Go to hell. Never hearing of His name. You say, well, then they didn't have a chance. Now you got it! Now you get it! Everybody this name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life will hear the gospel. And there amongst every nation and tribe under the face of the earth.
It's like Israel. Not all the Israelites, not all them Jews were saved people. They were all chosen of God as a nation to bring the lineage of Christ all the way down to Mary. Ruth, the Gentile Moabitess. Go read Ruth, that's good stuff. She was in there. That's what Ruth's about. Let you know that David was part Gentile. And so was Jesus. Because they came from Ruth. Why do you think Jesus would be a blessing through Isaac to all the nations of the earth? Because He's going to save some or all of them. Not because they do something, but because His Father gave them to Him before the foundation of the world and says, here's your children. Here's your bride. Go save them. And He did. He took their place on the cross. He bore the wrath of His Father for every sin that every child of God ever committed. He bore the punishment for that sin. He stood in their room instead. He paid their debt in full. And they will be saved. That day's already appointed. If you can remember the day when you were truly and actually saved by the grace of God, that day was appointed. The person that brought the gospel to you was appointed. It didn't just happen. It wasn't just by chance. It was like Saul on the road to Damascus. It wasn't no surprise to Jesus where he was at. He knew exactly where he was. Stopped him right where he meant to stop him. In the middle of the day. That's what it about says. In the middle of the day. When the sun was bright. It wasn't as bright as the Son of God, though. Knocked him to his knees. There's different degrees of punishment in hell, is what he's talking about there in 21. Better to have not have known to have known and turned from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed into her wallowing in the mire. That's the way lost people do. That's the way those professors do. They can't help it. They're sinners. They're born in sin.
And unless they've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and their heart been ripped out, and a new heart of flesh, that stony heart tore out of them, and a heart of flesh put in there, and the Bible says God writes His laws, His commandments on the tables, on the heart. The heart's what we love with, is it not? Isn't that what we say? I just love you with all my heart. Where do you think that expression comes from? Just love you with all my heart. Well, I'm not talking about that blood pump, huh? Because that blood pump can't love nothing but blood. Hoping it just keeps coming through it. And so do you. That blood keeps coming through that pump. That blood pump don't love nothing. The heart that it's talking about is the soul in a man. And the heart is where we love things. And God said He had removed the stony heart out of His people. And He put a heart of flesh in them. And He had write His laws or His commandments upon the tables of their heart. And that's what they'll love. You don't know if you're a Christian or not. You don't know if you're the elect of God or not. Do you love the Word of God? Do you love to read it and make sure that you do it? If you don't, all you got to do is go to the cross. Just go to the cross. Plead with the Lord. Beware, dear Christian, evil men that have crept in unawares by you, preaching and teaching doctrine contrary to sound truth of the Scriptures, are leading you into error to your destruction and fall. Turn with me and we'll finish off with this scripture here. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Well, behold, people, just because a man stands behind the pulpit don't mean he is the true preacher and man of God. You've got to try him to make sure he's preaching the truth. You've got to know the scripture yourself and make sure he's preaching the truth to you. One of the things the Ephesians were good about was that. People that said they were apostles, and which they are not any of those anymore. There are no more apostles. There is no more gift of healing. The apostles even lost it before they all died. Paul couldn't even heal Onesiphorus. If you remember, he left him for dead. There are no prophets anymore. Where there are prophecies, they shall cease. Why is all that? Why did all that stuff end? How come? And look, just because some idiot preacher gets up and acts a fool and jumps around and dances and slams you upside the head, knocks you to the floor, don't mean you healed. That don't mean that. They'll do it. Why? Because you give them money. Why do Roman Catholics say you go into purgatory when you die and he'll have to pray you out? Because you give him money. He's no different than the rest of these. Matter of fact, that Pope ain't nothing but the Antichrist. That's right. I said he was the Antichrist. And the Bible says, well, we'll read it. May not get to it today, but we'll read it. Said he set himself up as God. Above everything that is God. But did you see him in New York the other day? Did you hear him say he forgave people of their sins? Yeah, he's the Antichrist. You found them liars. And has borne and has patience. And for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick from its place. We don't have time to read all this. I didn't realize I'd been going past my time. Let's go down to verse 12. And to the angel of the church, Pergamos, write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have, and that was at Pergamos, remember. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now see, Balaam couldn't curse Israel. And if you go over there in Numbers 24 and 25, and even before, you can't find anywhere that it says that Balaam taught Balak what to do. But if you read chapter 1 of verse 25, verse 1 of chapter 25 of Numbers, you'll find out what they did. They committed whoredom with the daughters of the Moabites. Because that's what Balaam told Balak to do. He said, you take them hot, good-looking little women of yours, and you take them down there and put them in these dens, and when these Israelite boys come by, they'll go to laying with them. And when they do, they'll go to worshiping their Peor, Baal Peor. They'll go to worshiping their gods and offering sacrifices to them. And when they do, God's going to pour it on them. He'll turn them over to your hands, and many of them will fall because of that. Isn't that what he said? That's what he said right here. You have them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate, repent, or else I will come to thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And the Bible talks about, in Thessalonians there, about Balaam and about these false teachers are no different than Balaam was. And that's what they're doing even today. They teach people they can live any way they want to as long as they accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Those are false teachers and false preachers. And judgment of God is coming upon you, preachers. May God shut your mouth. Any way he can. And this nation of the United States, with all its ungodliness and sodomy and perversion and every way you can imagine, who would pray, God bless America? Who would want God to bless this ungodly, filthy, stinking, perverted, fornicating, adulterating, sodomizing bunch of people? I will pray God turn their hearts to thee. I will pray God bring judgment upon this filthy nation. How long has it been? 2 months since it rained here? How would you like it to be 3.5 years? What do you think we'd be living if God held our rain off for 3.5 years? What do you think we'd be living? You think them oak trees out there would be living? No. You think there'd be anything living? No. 3.5 years. Can you imagine? It's happened before. And if it would bring this nation to its knees and cause it to run these stinking Muslims out of our country and these foreigners who have invaded us illegally, if it would cause men to repent and cry out to God and plead with Him to have mercy upon us, oh God, I pray You'd do it. It's a shame what this nation has come to. Judgment is coming upon it. You can count on it. You better prepare your hearts, people. You better prepare your hearts and your mind for what's coming on this nation. It's a coming. Count on it. We'll be dismissed. Brother Andy, would you ask the Lord's blessings on us?